Moncrief on News Talk.
I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, but I need to get off the plane, okay? I need to just tell someone that I love them.
Miss, I can't let you off the plane.
Let her off the plane!
I am afraid you are going to have to take your seat.
Oh, please, miss, you don't understand.
Try to understand!
Oh, come on, miss, isn't there any way that you can just let me off the...
No, no! Oh, my God. Did she get off the plane? Did she get off the plane?
I got off the plane.
20 years ago this month, the TV series Friends aired its final episode. Not that you'd notice it. It has played on a constant loop since then. Why is that? The editor of Geek Island, Olivia Fahey, is a Friends devotee. Afternoon, Olivia.
Hi there.
So, Olivia, apart from the homophobia, the transphobia, the fat shaming and the naked sexism, what else do you like about Friends?
Now, I will say some of the jokes definitely have not stood the test of time. But overall, I do think that it still just has... Sorry, my dog has just started barking. Clearly, he's not a fan of Friends either. But I think it just has that kind of sense of comfort, because for so many of us, that was the show that we watched growing up. And for me, I just always found it so funny. I thought the characters were really well developed, even though all of them are technically terrible people when you look at them individually. Mm. But all together, it just made for something that you always wanted to say, oh, well, like, you're a Monica, you're a Ross, I'm a Rachel, I'm a Phoebe, or something like that. We all did that growing up. And I just find that when I just want something as background noise, I will always throw on an episode of Friends.
Okay, so it's almost like a kind of tonal thing with Friends that they, you know, they have problems to overcome, but the problems aren't that huge. There's nothing permanent. There's nothing they can't come back from.
Exactly. And I think that it was always so relatable in that sense. And I always remember this story that the studio apparently wanted the pilot to be changed because they didn't think that women would take to Monica because she sleeps with a guy on the first date. But actually, more women ended up finding Monica more relatable as a result of that. So I find it, they were kind of like pushing boundaries at the beginning, but, you know, they were sort of tackling more normal things. Now, not everybody will be able to relate to Rachel and running out on her wedding and, you know, likening herself to a shoe and a hat and things like that. But I definitely think that for the time, it was a good reflection of it. Maybe not the rental agreements, but definitely of the issues that people were facing.
Yeah. And then that's been much aired that there's no way whatsoever they all could have been living in apartments that size.
They even say it in the final episode. It's like, oh, and thanks to rent control, it was a steal. It's like, yeah, there had to be some reason you lived there.
It was like in the Paw Patrol movie, that like in the TV series, like parents who were forced to watch this nonsense were going like, how can they how can they afford this multi-billion-dollar range of equipment? And then in the Paw Patrol movie, apparently they explained it by they sell T-shirts. A lot of money in T-shirts. Well, also, like, say, a lot of the thing, like, how many times was Ross married?
He was married 3 times on screen. And as they were saying at the reunion, he thinks that himself and Rachel got married again. So 3 wives, 4 marriages, I'd say, at this point.
Yeah, and like, but even those, like, that would devastate most people. You know, you'd have trauma from that. But it was always kind of treated that somehow they managed to deflect all that and that, he might be sad for 20 minutes and then, you know, he'd be back to himself again.
I know. I think one thing that I liked about how they handled all of that is, like, just because you've had a failed marriage doesn't mean you're not lovable, or doesn't mean that you don't deserve love. And the fact that he was always still kind of trying to find, even though he knew that she lived like across the hall, he was still trying to find that perfect someone for himself. So I thought that that was quite good. And in the US, like, I have cousins who got married in their early 20s, and, you know, some of them, you know, are still married, some of them are not. So it was actually kind of more reflective that some people hitting the age of 30 might actually already have a divorce under their belt. So while it may not be as common over here in Ireland, it is actually quite common in the US.
Yeah, I suppose and do you think it's a particular generation who maybe grown up watching it when they were teenagers or maybe even in their tweeny years, that they are what's keeping the show alive to the extent it's still being watched so much?
Oh, 100%. I'd nearly say it's me. It could be just me watching it on Comedy Central on repeat constantly, because I was even thinking of it earlier, like, how many people do we know that would probably still say some sort of Friends quote, like Joey doesn't share food, or like with the phalanges, like there's something wrong with the left phalange, get off the plane, that type of thing. Even the like knocking your wrists together to mimic the middle finger. Like, I have done that in front of my little sister, who I will say is in her late teens, so she's not like a child. And she's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, before your time." She has no point of reference for it. So there's a lot of things that I think millennials have incorporated into their everyday vernacular that is actually something that has stemmed from Friends.
Oh God! So is that, so there's a generation below who aren't actually watching it and getting the same degree of comfort from it, or not watching it at all?
Yeah, and I think, especially because, as you touched on it already, like, there are jokes that just do not land anymore. I think for the time that they aired it, especially in terms of how Chandler was dealing with his father's transition, looking back at it now, it definitely wasn't handled well. But for the time, it was handled in a much better way than it had been seen on television before that. Mm. So a lot of people, when they're seeing things like that, a lot of the gay jokes about, like, again, Chandler being gay potentially and all this, they're just not landing as well for the teens of nowadays. But for us, this was just the way that it was. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but it was definitely of its time. And I was even thinking there earlier that the fact that Chandler actually comes to accept his father for who he is now, or for who she is now, I always found that to be a really good sort of resolution to the way that they were trying to, like, convey it, because it had a positive resolution as opposed to a negative one. And I thought that was really clever.
Yeah, and it was an interesting arc that one of Ross's ex, you know, and it was a joke at the time that it transpired she was a lesbian. But then, you know, when she got married, I think then it presented it as a non-joke. It was kind of like, look, these are human beings who are in love with each other and forming a relationship, kind of thing.
100%. And that was the first lesbian wedding that was shown on television.
Wow.
So they really did push the boundaries in terms of tackling these topics, because no other TV series was doing it at the time. And I even still remember the bit where Ross is giving out about Ben playing with a Barbie doll. But I was in Smith's not that long ago, and the father was literally, like, wheeling the buggy as fast as he could down the Barbie aisle before his son would stop to look at a Barbie. And I only know that because he said it out loud to the person he was with. So these things, as much as we're kind of like, oh, that's so, like, sexist and all this type of stuff, but, like, it still happens today. So yeah, it is a good outlook, I think, on certain things that maybe we just don't want to look at anymore.
And there was a thing that there wasn't that many black people in Friends, really.
Yeah,
it was kind of white New York. Being
yeah,
very
it was
white-y
definitely
with each other.
White New York.
Yeah,
it was. I think Charlie, who dated Ross and Joey, I think she was the one of the first black main characters that appeared on the show.
Yeah. Now, of course, William mistakes in it to say, I watched a couple of episodes of Friends, not one bit funny. Seinfeld. Now that was seriously funny. So it prompts the old comedy snobbery debate. But someone else says, we had a drunken debate recently. Is Friends the greatest sitcom of all time? I think no. My husband thinks yes. Olivia, where do you stand on that?
I would stand on the yes side of things. I think in terms of the way that it challenged what went on our screens, the way that it just conveyed comedy and just kind of life. Like I said earlier, everybody kind of wanted to be one of the characters. Everybody had a favorite character. Mine was Chandler. I loved how Matthew Perry just conveyed that sense of humor. And also a lot of the lines that Chandler said were actually ones that he had come up with on the spot as well. When Ross and Rachel get married in Vegas, the writers couldn't think of a funny enough line, went to Matthew Perry, and he came up on the spot with, well, they're just two bottles of vodka walking around in human form. So I think it's the fact that it was such a family and they all bounced off each other, and from the crew and a cast point of view, I think it's just superb. I wasn't actually that big into Seinfeld. I think that might have been a little bit before my time as well. So for me, I didn't really get the humour in Seinfeld, but I did get the humour in Friends.
Okay, Olivia, I can hear you tearing up, so I'll let you go. Thanks a million as ever. That was Olivia Fahey there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.